In our digitally disconnected age, the ability to move beyond superficial exchanges has become increasingly valuable. Research by psychologist Matthias Mell reveals a striking truth. People who engage in substantive conversations report significantly higher levels of happiness compared to those trapped in superficial exchanges. This isn't just about social comfort, it's about health. Loneliness has become as dangerous as smoking or obesity, making meaningful conversation a vital life skill. What's fascinating is how this seemingly simple ability, moving beyond weather talk, has transformed the social lives of over 500,000 readers who report improved relationships and reduced anxiety. The evidence is clear. Deeper conversations create deeper satisfaction. This isn't just small talk about small talk. It's about understanding a fundamental human need that, when fulfilled, dramatically improves our quality of life. Think of conversation like exercise. You wouldn't jump into intense physical activity without stretching first. Yet we expect our social skills to function flawlessly without preparation. This disconnect partly stems from childhood conditioning. Remember stranger danger? That protective instinct has morphed into adult isolation habits, earbuds in, eyes down, phone out, creating a society of people sharing physical space but rarely connecting. Studies confirm the cost of this behavior. Research by Nicholas Epley and Juliana Schroeder found commuters who engaged with strangers had significantly more positive experiences than those who remained isolated. The solution? Engage in 10-second relationships throughout your day. These micro-interactions, greeting the security guard, chatting with baristas, complimenting coworkers, serve as social warm-ups. Service workers make particularly good practice partners. They're professionally obligated to be polite, creating a low-risk environment to flex your conversational muscles. That cashier asking, "How's your day going?" isn't just being polite. They're offering you a social gymnasium where you can practice without fear of judgment. Think of these brief exchanges as deposits in your social confidence bank. By the time you're in situations that really matter, a job interview, a first date, a networking event, you'll already be socially warmed up and ready to connect authentically. Your voice is your primary communication tool, yet most people never consciously develop it. Like athletes who train their bodies, conversationalists need to condition their speaking apparatus. The difference between captivating and forgettable often comes down to how you sound, not just what you say. Try this transformative exercise. Read aloud with exaggerated expression. Don't mumble through text. Perform it as if entertaining children. Alternate between shouting and whispering. Make your laughter maniacal and your happiness manic. Create distinct voices for different characters. Why does this work? Because monotone delivery kills engagement. When your voice lacks variety in pitch, pace, and emotion, listeners' brains literally begin to filter you out as background noise. Our brains are wired to notice change and novelty. Sameness becomes invisible. This practice warms up your vocal cords, improves diction, and expands your emotional range. The results are immediate. People who practice vocal exercises before social events report feeling more confident and receiving more engaged responses. Think of your voice as an instrument that needs daily practice. Even 5 minutes of expressive reading before leaving home can dramatically change how you're received. Your words might be brilliant, but if they're delivered in a monotone mumble, they'll never have the impact they deserve. Small talk isn't trivial. It's the first of 4 sequential conversational stages that build meaningful connections. These stages help navigate social interactions effectively. Stage 1, small talk, establishes initial contact through light exchanges about weather or sports. Like a foundation, it creates a safe space for assessing basic compatibility. Stage 2 involves fact disclosure, sharing basic life details and background information. When someone mentions their hometown or profession, they're opening the door to deeper understanding. Stage 3 is opinion disclosure, where shared viewpoints create common ground. I think statements emerge here, revealing values and strengthening bonds through shared perspectives. Finally, emotion disclosure is where genuine intimacy develops through sharing personal feelings and vulnerabilities. While few relationships reach this depth, these become our most meaningful connections. Each stage builds on the previous one. You can't skip to emotional intimacy without first establishing comfort through earlier stages. Children approach conversation with natural curiosity and authenticity, asking questions freely and connecting emotionally without filters. Most adults do the opposite, sticking to safe, predictable scripts that create no real connection. To set a better tone, break free from standard responses. Instead of saying your weekend was good, share a vivid detail. I discovered this hidden hiking trail that felt like stepping into a fantasy novel. Use colorful language that creates mental pictures. Gentle exaggeration adds emotional resonance. Rather than, I waited a while, try, I waited so long, I started naming the dust bunnies. Breaking the fourth wall by acknowledging the conversation itself, I realize we just met, but creates instant rapport. Look to your genuine friendships as models. Notice how real friends ask direct questions, interrupt naturally, and share openly. This is your template for authentic connection. Breaking the ice is difficult primarily because we fear judgment, not because we lack things to say. We worry about rejection and awkwardness. The solution is using indirect approaches that provide plausible reasons to speak. Three effective methods are, first, ask for information or opinions. Do you know when the next speaker starts? Or which appetizer would you recommend? These questions have legitimate purpose. Second, comment on the shared environment. That artwork is fascinating, or this venue is incredible. Third, reference shared context. How do you know the host, or what brings you to this conference? Acknowledges your common ground. These approaches work because they're indirect. You're creating natural conversation opportunities rather than forcing interaction. If someone gives a brief response and moves on, neither party feels rejected since the exchange had a clear purpose. Remember, most people welcome conversation but are equally hesitant to start it. Breaking the ice skillfully creates opportunities many secretly desire. When we picture a captivating conversationalist, we imagine someone telling an engrossing story. Yet most people believe they have no interesting stories to tell despite having countless narrative-worthy experiences in their everyday lives. A story doesn't need to be an epic adventure. A mini-story, just three sentences taking less than 10 seconds, creates more engagement than flat responses. Compare, "I'm a marketing executive," to, "I'm a marketing executive. Last week, a client threatened to send bodyguards to our office. Turns out he was just nervous about his product launch." Prepare mini-stories about common topics like your job, weekend plans, or hobbies. For longer stories, use the 1-1-1 method. One action, one sentence summary, and one primary emotion. Start close to the climax rather than with lengthy background. The goal of storytelling is connection, not impression. End with open elements that encourage others to respond. That's why I'm nervous about skydiving next month. Have you ever done something that terrified you? By viewing your life through a narrative lens, you'll discover you're already living stories worth telling.